Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and I learned some things from yesterday's slate, like we all did, of course. You know, I mean, lots of very viable things, the fact that, you know, the Dodgers couldn't hit Ricky Nolasco. He's a Cy Young candidate. That is something that we should consider, that the Cubs will always hit one leadoff home run. That's something that we should consider. That Jordan Montgomery will only pitch well when you don't start him. That's something that I learned. What else did I learn? We all know, I mean, Eddie Butler is, you know, just a knockdown, drag out, absolutely excellent, excellent pitcher. And when the weather is 66 in rainy and progressive field, the visiting team is probably going to hit four home runs off of Carlos Carrasco. That makes sense. That makes sense. And then, but only to be superseded by a basically 12-run rally in the late game that involves zero home runs from the Cleveland side. I don't know. I don't know if there has been a more tilting slate in the history of slates. I will say, deeply, deeply and emotionally complex. Elvis Andrews hits two dongs, double dong Elvis Andrews off of, you know, if Carrasco was going to have problems at home, I said it was going to be against lefties. Nope, it's against the undersized, I can't hit home runs usually ever, Elvis Andrews. It was like, come on, give me a break. The slate was a mess. You know, the only thing that made sense that happened was Chris Sale went out and dominated. And I said, don't overthink it. People are over on Twitter. I'm not touching Chris Sale, man. Stacking Minnesota bats. Listen, for leverage sakes, if something happens, like Chris Jimenez hits a random home run. Yeah, fine. Okay, great. I get it. But Chris Sale is Chris Sale, and there's a reason that his numbers are the way that they are consistently, and don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. When you have an elite pitcher in a good situation, it wasn't a perfect situation, but it was a good situation, you play him, and he goes out and he does exactly what you want him to do. Now, interestingly enough, there are some other really good pitching performances. You know, guys like Gio had a great game. Even Berrios had a nice game, you know, despite the fact that he gave up a couple runs early. Berrios pitched a nice game. Carrasco did not have a nice game. and they kept rolling him out there. It was a weird, weird night. Honestly, I'm going to pretend. And, oh, by the way, yeah, Tim Anderson, that's the guy who's going to hit the home run for the White Sox. What the fuck? I had some Tim Anderson, but he, you know, that's not a power. It was a bizarre slate, guys. It was a weird one, but we got some normalcy in our lives. It's a Tuesday night. We got 15 games to talk about. So we gotta jump into this biatch. Pardon me. I shouldn't have said it that. My mother just rolled her eyes somewhere. Anyway. All right. We're going to jump into this slate and take a look at the spreads that we got today. All right, so I realized, by the way, I forgot to put in the audio clips yesterday to the podcast. I just exported it and uploaded it, and I had all these blank spots in there, so I apologize for those awkward silences. Hopefully they didn't make you uncomfortable. I'll make sure to do it today. Cubs, Nats, this series continues. Only 7.5 runs here, Vegas says, as Jake Arrieta goes up against Max Scherzer. Scherzer, 12K. Woo, yikes. But, you know, certainly worth it here against the Cubbies, and we're going to talk about it. This is another don't overthink it kind of spot. But Arrieta, you know, I don't know. I don't think he's that good. I think he's lost velocity this year, but then again, he pitched a gem just last week in Miami, and I had some Miami stack up against him. You know, he's been pitching well, but, you know, like, every so often he'll get shelled. Like, he, you know, he pitched well against Miami twice, but in between that he got beat up by Pittsburgh and Colorado. I don't really know when Jake Arrieta is going to pitch well and when people are going to hit him. So I'm kind of in a stay away mode there. I would not be surprised if the Nats bat lefties get to him though. I wouldn't, because he can get hit for home runs and they'll pull him. Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, 9 runs projected here. Cool day in Pittsburgh and the little bit of wind blowing out in PNC. Interesting that it's 9 runs. Alex Cobb versus Trevor Williams. I guess what they're telling us here is the lefties are in play, which makes sense. You know, Cobb has elevated wOBAs to both righties and lefties, and Pittsburgh has been hitting the ball. We saw that. We continue to see that. Williams struggles, but, you know, has had some, had a, you know, just kind of had a tilting outing recently against Milwaukee. Like, he kind of does more than you want him to do. I think I'm going to stay away from this one. It could be the game that wins the slate, no doubt, but I think I'm going to stay away from that one and kind of let it be, even though I know both of these teams can hit right-handed pitching. Baltimore-Toronto, 10 runs projected in the Rogers Center. Toronto is a favorite here as Kevin Gausman goes up against Joseph Biagini. This is an interesting spot for sure. I don't mind Toronto here. I don't know if I agree with 5.5 runs. I would put them at, you know, 5.2 maybe against Gausman. Gausman has actually limited the damage in a number of his starts. And in both of his starts against Toronto, he has been pretty effective. Now, is he liable to get shelled by, you know, some teams? Yeah, he has 2 negative point totals on his game logs here. Absolutely. Like, he can get absolutely blown up. And he's not a great pitcher. He's got a terrible K to walk ratio, but I don't know that I'm going to go to Toronto here. Biagini. I love this guy by the numbers. I love him, but he has given up. He's gotten hit in his last 2 starts, 15 hits over his last 2 starts, plus 2 walks, 17 base runners. You know, we saw in the White Sox game how quickly that can unravel for him, and he gave up 2 dingers to Texas. So Baltimore feels like they're trending in the right direction. This is another kind of, I'm going to sit on the sidelines and watch and see what happens here, because Baltimore in the last 2 games of that Tampa Bay series, I watched them. They started to swing the bat. They really did. And you could see some interesting things with the lineup. You could see John Schoop and Trey Mancini right in the core of the order right there, and bump Trumbo down a little bit because those 2 guys are hitting. So a very weird stack that does not have a lot of name value. Seth Smith, John Schoop, Trey Mancini. All right, sorry, that's too much. I'm talking too much. Mets Marlins, 9 runs projected in Miami. Robert Zelman going up against Dan Straley. Straley, 1 run favorite here, makes sense. This could be another game that wins the slate because these pitchers, you know, Straley has actually been pretty good, but the Mets have been hot. I mean, they've been making hard contact like crazy over the weekend in that San Francisco series. They put up quite a few runs. They really, really started to click, you know, in a park like in San Francisco. You know, that's an interesting thing, that they did there. So, you know, I mean, yeah, 8 runs, 5 runs, 12, 11 runs. You know, the Dodgers series was pretty bad for them. But against that San Francisco staff, a total of 24 runs through 3 games, that's not terrible. It's really not terrible. You know, that's interesting to me. I think that the Mets could be an interesting spot here against Straley because they are making hard contact. Whereas the Marlins, they are kind of trending in the wrong direction. I've been trying to capture them at low ownership for the last couple, here and there for the last couple weeks. But against Gesellman, this is a good spot, and Vegas prefers them. So Minnesota, Boston, 10.5 runs projected here. Pretty nasty rain in the afternoon leading up to this game, but it should go away by about 8 o'clock. So that's nice. So, you know, they'll probably put it as in a delay. Hector Santiago versus Drew Pomeranz. I'll give you one guess who's favored here. Yeah, the Red Sox are heavy favorites in this one. 6 total runs projected. They will be the chalk, but you're going to have some because Hector Santiago absolutely sucks at baseball. Milwaukee, Cincinnati, 10 runs projected here. Junior Guerra versus Tim Adelman. This is another game that feels sneaky. These pitchers are not great. Cincinnati, small ballpark, two teams that we know can start to really string together home runs. There's these weird spots on this slate, guys. Really, really nice tournament slate. Really is. Because you can easily get some chalk and then add some weird under-owned bats that people are overlooking. So I like this spot. I think this is an interesting game. Junior Guerra can't strike out a soul. And Tim Adelman, every single game, Tim Adelman gets, you know, he gets hit. He gives up hits. He gives up hits. He gives up runs. He goes about 5 or 6 innings. But he's always going to give up about 5 hits. You know, he's always going to give up a home run, that kind of thing. So it's an interesting spot to possibly go after Milwaukee, even though they're kind of cold. Texas, Cleveland, this game should be, I think this game will again be another high score. Tyson Ross versus Mike Clevinger. Tyson Ross, one good start, one terrible start. And he's in a rough spot here against Cleveland that, you know, they should be able to hit him pretty hard, and they went through quite a bit of that bullpen. So I like this game a lot. And Clevinger, well, we know he's got a home run issue, but I don't necessarily know who can hit home run. I mean, the right-handed bats on Texas are the ones who are hitting the ball out of the park, but Clevinger struggles with the lefties. So I don't know how to open that up. You know, that's a complicated. I mean, you stack it, maybe mix and match your righties and lefties and hope that you get the ones that start hitting. Kansas City, Detroit, 9 runs projected in Comerica. I love this spot for the Detroit bats. The more and more that I look at it, it's becoming one of my favorite spots. 1, they're better at home. 2, they're pretty much unplayable against righties right now, but they are excellent against left-handers. We know that. They have been all year. Top 5 in hard contact, top 5 in WRC+, all that good stuff. So against a lefty like this, I'm all over Detroit here in this situation, and they continue to be underpriced. Kinsler, Castellanos, Miggy at 3.6, JD at 3.8, Justin Upton at 3.5. There it is. Boom. New York, Chicago, the series continues, but only 8 runs projected today because the wind is blowing in there in guaranteed rate. Severino versus Quintana. This feels like they're trying to bait us into betting the over, but something about there's something that Vegas likes about Quintana, and I don't necessarily see it. There's something that people like about Severino here makes me worried. I mean, the White Sox kind of have this, you know, hot and cold relationship with right-handed pitching right now. You know, they'll go out and they'll destroy a guy like Irvin Santana, and then they'll get blanked by a guy like Jose Berrios. Severino is a good pitcher. It's viable to start him here. You know, we saw that maybe what all they needed was a team that they could kind of sink their teeth into, this pitching staff. And the White Sox gave him that last night, and Montgomery had a great outing. So maybe Severino is a good bounce back spot for him. I'm not sure. And by the way, Aaron Judge loves a curveball. Who else loves a curveball? Jose Quintana. Oakland, Houston, 9 runs projected here. Sean Manaea going up against Michael Fiers, my boy, Mike Fiers, the anti-home run guy. He has been just great. I mean, in his last outing against Oakland, as we prescribed, Mike Fiers goes 6 innings. He gets the win. He gets the quality start. He only allows, I think he only allowed 1 run, and he got 5 Ks. I mean, Mike Fiers has been a great addition. You know, when he figured this out, he's been great. Do I want to play him tonight? Maybe not. The reason being familiarity. And Houston is a good place to get cheap home runs. In fact, Houston is a home team right now against a lefty is very interesting to me, but they are expensive. And, God, I don't know. It's hard. There's a lot of spots on this slate. I could definitely get into some Houston bats. You guys know I love them. St. Louis, Arizona. This is an interesting spot. 8.5 runs in Chase Field. What? You got 10 runs in a place like Cincinnati, 10 runs in Cleveland, 10.5 in Boston. You got 8.5 in Chase Field. So this is telling me something about what Vegas is telling us something. All right, St. Louis is favored with Carmo on the hill versus Taijuan Walker. Vegas is telling us something because if I remember last week when that lighter character for Philadelphia was on the hill, okay, go out. Everybody loves the Arizona bats against this, this reliever turned starter here. No, yeah, we got to go after this guy. Vegas set the line wrong. The total went way up throughout the course of the day, almost 2 runs because people were just hammering the over. Nope. Hit the under, Vegas wins. When Vegas is showing us this kind of a fishy line, part of me just goes, I don't know, stay away. I don't really know what to do with it. Now, the one thing I do love is St. Louis on the road, massive park upgrade, and they're pretty cheap. And we've seen some cheap bats in that lineup. So keep an eye on the St. Louis lineup. It's kind of fun. LA versus LA, Angels, Dodgers, 8.5 runs projected here. Jesse Chavez versus Kenta Maeda. Dodgers are favored here. I keep using this joke. Stop me if you've heard this one before. We've got an Angels right-hander who struggles with righties. Jesse Chavez. So, I mean, guys, we're going back to the Dodgers tonight. We got to, you know, they burned everybody yesterday, but this is a perfect chance to go back to them. Atlanta, San Diego, Sean Newcomb versus Julius Chacin. I love both of these pitchers. I don't talk about them. I think this is a great spot. Vegas only has this game at 8 runs. Makes total sense. This makes total sense. You know, this is one of the second lowest total on the slate, I believe it is. Yeah, second lowest total behind the Scherzer game. And I agree. I think that these two pitchers are pretty solid. They're both priced almost exactly the same. And I think that if you're playing DraftKings, start them both in one game and put a $1 entry on it. I want to see what happens. Please. I see 6 innings for both of these guys. These offenses are meh. They're fine. They're nothing special. There's not a lot of, you know, serious hitters. If anything, I mean, if anything happens here, it's the Braves lefties eventually get to Chacin. But Chacin has been amazing at home. It's been unbelievable. And Newcomb has been good. I think this is a breakthrough spot for him here against the Padres, who swing the bat. I think he's going to see some real traction with some of his strikeout stuff. Philadelphia, Seattle, 8.5 runs projected here, and Seattle is getting 5 runs to Philadelphia's 3.5. I don't understand. At what point are we going to say, guys, James Paxton isn't the same James Paxton? Now, here's the thing. Okay, he's got the Phillies. People are going to love this spot. The Phillies are much better against lefties than they are against righties. 2, their strikeout rate is down. In the last 20, I believe it's either in the last 30 days or the last 15 days, the split shows that they're not striking out at more than a 20% rate to left-handed pitching. Robbie Ray only made it 6 innings with 5 Ks against them just recently in Chase Field. Paxton continues to get blown up again and again and again. I mean, he just allowed 9 hits to the Tigers. 9 hits, 2 walks with 1 home run. He's allowed a home run in each of his last 4 starts. He's allowed at least 5 hits in each of those starts. He's allowed at least 2 walks in each of those starts. Yes, he got the strikeouts against the Tigers, but I just don't see James Paxton as the same pitcher. And until I see him get through clean innings without getting hit, I'm not touching him. So Vegas is trying to say this is his bounce back spot. I'm not completely sure it is. Do I want to start Philadelphia against him? No, this is not the Tigers. I'm not starting the Tigers. I started the Tigers against him. I'm not starting the Tigers against, I'm not starting the Phillies against Paxton. I will start the Mariners against Nola. Nola had a great game in, his last start, at home, against, who was it? Yeah, in the Cards game. He had a filthy game. He went 7 innings. And the annoying thing was I was like, you know what, this could be a really good spot for Nola. This could be a really good spot for Nola. He could really get this done because this team is struggling. They struggled. St. Louis struggled in that series. And Nola starting to show the signs that he's like fully stretched out and really, really, really cooking right now. But Seattle's been very good at home, especially against righties, and they're healthy. You're going to have to go through Haniger, Cano, Cruz, Seager, and Segura now is back and healthy too. And they're not, so I don't know necessarily that I love this spot for Nola. And Vegas doesn't either. Last game of the night, Colorado, San Francisco, 8.5 runs projected here. Wind blowing out in San Francisco. And look at this little San Francisco offense picking it up a little bit. However, we got Jeff Hoffman versus Matt Cain. Hoffman favored here. San Francisco's getting 4 runs, but I like Hoffman in this spot. And you guys know I like Hoffman, so I'll talk about him. Here. I think this is an interesting spot to go back to Jeff Hoffman after a couple rough home starts. So that is it, guys. That is it. We got 15 games to talk about. Let's jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, starting with the arms, it's pretty obvious. Scherzer, guys. I'm not gonna waste too much time on this. Max Scherzer against the Cubs is an excellent play. Excellent play. Let's be very clear. The Cubs offense is not as powerful this year. They've been solved or they haven't solved it. I don't know what it is, but they also suck against right-handed pitching. And to show what they did, they're supposed to be better against lefties. And Gio went out there and cooked them. One leadoff homer to Wilson Contreras. Who cares? Wilson Contreras hits the ball really hard. If he gets one, he gets one. Gio cooked them. Went deep in that game. Pitched a gem. I had a feeling he would. I was, that's good stuff. However, Scherzer is going to be a buzzsaw to them, okay? 35% K rate, 16% 16% swinging strike rate, 29% K to walk ratio with only 25% hard contact allowed and a Sierra of 2.7. Maybe Chris Sale has a better xFIP, but those numbers are absolutely dirty. He has not gone less than 7 innings since May 20th. Check your calendar. What is today? Oh, it's June 27th. Okay. Has not gone less than 7 innings in 5 weeks. Okay. Since that start, when he went less than 7 innings, he has had double-digit Ks in every single start since then. Every single start. I think it's 5 starts, 5 separate starts that he's had double-digit Ks. With a ceiling of 14 strikeouts coming in the game against the Dodgers. He also pitched a complete game against the San Francisco Giants in that stretch. He's a fucking animal. I love this guy. Enter the Cubs. Cubs 29% hard contact against right-handed pitching in the last 30 days. With a season-long 89 WRC+, just north of the Padres. Away from home, that number drops to a 78. They're terrible against righties. They're terrible against righties. They really are. They cannot hit righties. They can hit lefties fine because guys like Wilson Contreras and Javier Baez actually have a chance. Okay? But Scherzer should be absolutely in an excellent spot here. There's a reason that Vegas only likes them for 3.3 runs. So Scherzer, it is. Just play Max. While everybody tilts and says, maybe, I don't know, Cubs bats against Scherzer, there's some BVP history, Rizzo hits the fastball. You know, do whatever you want. That's fine. They did it last night with Chris Sale. What did Chris Sale do? He did exactly what you wanted him to do. He's a known commodity. When you have a talent that's this good, you have a known commodity. Go with what you know. You're paying 12K because you know what's going to happen. That's why you're paying 12K. Could you get the same performance out of a guy who's cheaper? Yes, you could. Could you get leverage out of that guy? Yes, you could. Can you afford bats if you pay for someone who's cheaper? Yes. However, what you're doing is you're establishing a known commodity, a floor for your lineup that you feel like you can trust. So Scherzer, it's not hard. Now, if you're going to pivot, there's a couple spots to go. Like I said, I'm not touching Arrieta. I don't know when he's going to have a great game, and I just haven't been playing him lately. If he really strikes, if he can pitch well against this team, then he'll have my attention. I talked about John Paxton, not touching it. Carmo in the desert against Arizona. No, Arizona has not been excellent lately, but you're not playing pitchers in Chase Field, especially when they're a righty. If he was a lefty, I would consider it. I would consider it. But I don't know what's going to happen with that Arizona lineup. They could start hitting him, batting, you know. He has struggled on the road. Okay? He has struggled on the road. Carmo has. And this is a team that makes more hard contact than his recent opponents. So, I'm not going to Carmo on the road. Now, Severino is the only other guy who really has my attention, okay? Because you got in the 9Ks against the White Sox. And I don't mind Severino whatsoever, but like I said, I have a hard time getting a read on what he's capable of and what the White Sox are capable of. I mean, last two starts, he has allowed a total of 12 hits and 6 walks. So you're talking about 18 base runners and 2 starts against LA and Oakland. Those teams are not supposed to be hard-hitting teams against right-handers. All right, he, you know, only 11 Ks in those two starts. The numbers are down, 9 total earned runs in those. If there's a team that hits righties hard, it's the White Sox. I mean, the White Sox are currently directly behind the Rays, ahead of the Mets. They're third place right now in hard hit rate against righties. A lot of those are ground balls, but, I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it. I don't really know what's going to happen here. We saw them blow up Irvin Santana. I don't want to necessarily go to Severino and pay 9K and end up getting 5 innings and 4 earned runs again, like we did against Oakland and LA, where those spots were really good. Yeah, I mean, they're good spots, but, you know, the White Sox, again, top 3 in hard contact rate, and they are... Now, their offense against right-handed pitching has been mediocre, you know, not phenomenal, middle of the range, you know, as far as WRC plus, 22% strikeout rate, so I could see you going to them and saying, you know what, there's K's in this lineup and they're not going to keep up against right-handed pitching. It's fine. It's that 4-run number that scares me, because we know guys can jack the ball. 2 home runs, and all of a sudden, everything unravels with Severino. All right, then you got a bunch of guys in the 8K range, and I know I normally don't go through these prices like this, guys, but you got a bunch of guys in the 8K range. You've got and you've also got Verlander. I think people are going to be attracted to Verlander in the Kansas City matchup, and I don't mind Verlander. I don't really want to go there. Because I don't think Vegas likes it, but I don't know if I like it. It's a Vegas, and Vegas likes Severino and Verlander. They're giving me pause. I am being very bearish about some of these 9K pitchers. Truthfully, I am. I'm being very pessimistic. In the 8K range, you know, you got Mike Fiers, you got Taijuan Walker, you got Kenta Maeda, you got Sean Manaea. those are all just the matchups for me and those guys. I just don't, and, you know, Pomeranz, Straley. I just don't love the matchups. I just don't really want to, you know, Pomeranz, if there's a spot where the righties for Minnesota get it going, this would be the spot. Pomeranz can get hit. He's got good K stuff and he's been very good lately, but he can get hit. We know that. You know, you look at a guy like Mike Fiers. I would love to play Mike Fiers against Oakland. I have no problem with that. Vegas kind of likes it. But the issue that I have with Mike Fiers here is you've got, you know, a couple, you've got more lefties that he's got to deal with. Okay. They've added Matt Olson into that lineup. You know, the Oakland's was kind of started hitting, and they just saw Mike Fiers, last week. You know, that familiarity to me kind of feels like maybe he's not going to get away with it this time through. And Kenta Maeda, not going to pitch deep into that game. He's going to go five innings. He's going to get the Rich Hill treatment. He's not going to get although Rich Hill pitched deep into that game last night, which I don't understand why all of a sudden that happened. So these matchups are kind of tricky. I'm going to be honest. I'm being very, very pessimistic about these guys. And Taijuan Walker, by the way, I'm not playing anybody in Chase Field. I'm being very pessimistic about these guys. But I'll go down to somebody that I think is that I'm more optimistic about, who's lower cost. And as a result, I think the lower cost makes me feel like it's a better possible return on your investment. And that's Jeff Hoffman against San Francisco. Now, honestly, I feel like a kid trying out his new toy with Hoffman here. You know, we started Hoffman against San Francisco in Coors because after that road trip that the Rockies were on, we were like, holy shit, this guy is filthy. That start was pretty bad. Pretty meh. You know, he got through a couple innings. He didn't get blown up. But he got hit. He got out of some jams. Then we started him. We looked at him against Arizona. Arizona really got to him. Well, okay, Arizona hits the ball really hard. They hit right-handers very well. And they had Coors Field. That makes total sense. I think, though, the reason that I like Hoffman here is that he's right in the same neighborhood as all of those guys, Severino, Carlos Martinez, as far as xFIP, Sierra, strikeout rate, etc. Okay? 25% strikeout rate, 10% swinging strike rate. It's a little bit south of some of those guys, but it's very good. You know, it's in the same spot as, you know, a guy like Verlander or Sean Manaea. Mike Fiers is not quite that good. 5% walk rate. He's got elite control. He's got one of the best K to walk ratios on the slate, just behind Max Scherzer. Then you add to the fact that his home road splits are massively drastic. Okay. He on the road, he has a 32% K rate with a 1% walk rate. Now, a slate high 31% K to walk ratio, only allowing 27% hard contact and 4% home run to fly ball ratio on the road in those road starts. Now, it's a small sample size alert. And guess what? He's pitched against teams that aren't proven to be not very good against right-handed pitching. All right. The Cubs, the Phillies, and the Padres on the road. Okay. But you got two small ballparks in Wrigley and Philadelphia. All right. And with the Padres, he was masterful. So, I think the matchup with the Giants is still one that we can exploit. Now they're getting better. They're certainly getting slightly better. And I think that's the one word of caution that I will have here is that, you know, in the last 30 days, they are bad, but they are not complete cellar dwellers, you know, and they continue to have a low strikeout range. A low strikeout rate at 18%, but they continue to have one of the worst hard contact rates in the league at 18%, or excuse me, at 26% in the last 30 days. So are they improving? Are they seem to be putting up some more runs? Yeah. But I think Hoffman is just a really good pitcher. And we've talked about one of the advantages is that he has on the road. he's got an excellent curveball, and he's going to be able to use that, rely on it a lot more, I think, you know, given the fact that he's going to be away from course. It grades out as, you know, one of the better curveballs on the slate, just behind, you know, Nola, Paxton. It's up there, and all the rest of his pitches grade out really well as well. But we know that you can't throw a curveball in Coors Field, and you can throw a curveball in San Francisco, especially with this giant ballpark. So I really like this spot for Jeff Hoffman, and at 7-4, that's an amazing price. I mean, you can pretty much do whatever bats you want at that price. Now, the other pitcher that I'm really interested in, and I think will go under-owned, is Sean Newcomb. And you know, I've been keeping my eye on this kid, looking for a good spot for him for a while. And I think that, you know, Newcomb is in an interesting position here. And Julius Chacin, that whole game. I told you guys I love that game. I love both pitchers in that game. Here's the thing. Newcomb clearly has good stuff, all right? He's got stuff that stops teams from hitting the ball hard. His hard and soft contact, they're almost exactly matching at 22 and 20%. That's really good. It's really, really, really good, okay? He's only allowed 2% barreled balls in his three starts thus far. He's got a 10% swinging strike rate. Now, his strikeout rate isn't that high, and part of the reason is that his swinging strike rate is almost as high as his walk rate. His walk rate has been up to 10%. The walks are killing him. But in all three of his starts thus far, they haven't hurt him enough that he hasn't gotten a quality start. He's gone six innings, hasn't given up more than three earned runs. And I think he's going to go overlooked here. Okay, he gets a massive ballpark boost. He gets a nice weather situation with, you know, 70 something degrees down there versus, you know, 85 and muggy, which has been in Atlanta. In a team that strikes out a 25% rate to left-handed pitching on the season, 29% in the last 14 days. You know, for a while, the Padres were really trending in the right direction as far as hard contact goes. And then people started missing their bats and they started striking out again. They swing hard. Sometimes they hit the ball, but they're not a home run team. We know that the contact is there. They have elevated their hard contact rate, but they're really not on a hot streak right now. They haven't been that excellent. I like Newcomb's chances here. I like his position to go under owned, possibly get the quality start, get six strikeouts. You know, he struck out in his debut against the Mets. He struck out eight batters, and then he faced two really, really low strikeout teams in the Giants and the, who was the other one? The Giants and the Marlins are average strikeout team. That's what it was. It was the Giants and the Marlins. But you know, in the Marlins game, The Marlins put some pressure on him, but he still got through six innings. He still only allowed three earned runs, one dinger, fine, and he got three strikeouts. I mean, this kid just really has a way of not getting hit hard. And the walks, if he can limit the walks, then he's going to be really pretty good. So I like him in this spot. Now, the other guy I got to talk about is Julius Chacin. I mean, Chacin has been unbelievable at home. It's really interesting. You know, Atlanta's a decent offense against right-handed pitching. They kind of get lost in the middle of the pack. And there's certain spots when they get a right heave that they can hit that you really want to stack those lefties. I get it. But they're in a tough spot against Chacin. I mean, he's been amazing at home. A 220 WOBA allowed with a 1.9 ERA and a 21% strikeout rate. Only allowing 26% hard contact, ground ball rate over 50% in Petco. I don't know how much K upside there is in this lineup, but I do know that Chacin at home has had an amazing floor and some really, really, really good performance. I think, you know, both of these guys are punt pitcher options that you may be able to get under owned. Now, do they have the strikeout upside? No, but there's a lot of things, you know, I think Hoffman offers the strikeout upside.
You know, there's a lot of things that if you want, I mean, here's the thing. If you want strikeout upside, guys, you're going to have, you got to pay for Scherzer. Could Manaea, could Straley, could Carmo, you know, Severino, could they strike out 7 or 8 pitchers? Yeah, but they could all be in a situation where they could give up a ton of runs. They really are. So, you know, I'm trying to continuously try to avoid that 4-run number. And so I think for me, some of these guys are in appealing positions. All right, let's move over to the bats here and let's figure out who we're going to put together with these pitching options. All right, taking a look at the sticks tonight, I think one of the things that I've kind of realized part of my process is that I'm actually going from highest owned down to lowest owned spots. So, you know, it's sometimes the higher owned offenses do correlate with price, because I do believe that FanDuel's algorithm has something to do with ownership, price correlation with ownership rather than just performance, or else there's no fucking way that the Red Sox would be priced so high. Anyway. All right, so the Red Sox it is, because they are in a really good spot against Hector Santiago here at home. Wind is blowing out, favors the right-hand bats. They get a terrible lefty on the mound. They're excellent against left-handers. It's chalk. I don't care. He's bad. He's the highest barrel FIP on the slate, highest barrel rate on the slate. Ballpark is playing for right-handed bats. The wind is out. I mean, you just got to play him and recognize that, you know, the other 50% of people who didn't play these guys are going to probably be playing catch-up to your floor. You know, establishing a floor with Scherzer and the Red Sox is a pretty nice path to feeling good about your night. So, you know, Santiago, 6% K to walk ratio, allowing 36% hard contact, a 49% fly ball rate, 315 wOBA to right-handed bats, 401 to lefties. Now, the interesting thing is they've been kind of doing this platoon thing against righties and lefties. If they don't, if we get the normal, you know, right-handers lineup, then I'm going straight after it. It's Mookie, it's Mitch, it's Benintendi, it's Bogarts. I have no problem playing the lefties against this lefty, okay? I don't. Just because he gives up so much. And then you're going to get the bullpen from Minnesota, which is pretty bad anyway. I think the one thing, though, is if you get that platoon change, I'll go to the righties. You know, I like Chris Young here. I don't know about Hanley. Like, I don't know if I can avoid Hanley and Pedroia, but their numbers this year are just so bad. But, you know, Chris Young, I could get into Chris Young. He kind of had a couple good games last week. I could do that. I think Mookie and Bogarts are, you know, obvious and in great spots here. You know, those are the guys that you really want. And then you figure out what the rest of the lineup looks like. It's just like you can play Hanley and you can play Pedroia, but you have to basically recognize that you're not going to get a home run out of those guys. You're not. I mean, Hanley's ISO is below 100 this year. He's been terrible. He's been absolutely terrible. You know, for them not to have a home run hitter in that lineup, for Mitch Moreland to be the only viable home run power hitter on that lineup, I mean, Mookie obviously is a great player, but that is why this team struggles. I mean, there's no question in my mind that they have nobody who, once a game, is just going to possibly clear the bases and give them a 3-run bump. And that's why, you know, they're good, but they're not great. So I think it's an interesting spot to go to the Red Sox, but I think be careful with who you roster, you know, and we'll wait and see who in the lineup here, because I think Mitch Moreland is probably one of my favorite plays on the board if he plays, and partially because of the leverage that you could get with the fact that people are not going to play a lefty against a lefty. Anyway, and he's cheap. I think the Jays are in a great spot, but Gausman has pitched a couple gems against them this year, so I'm not going to go overwhelmingly out on them. I talked about the Nats. They're interesting against Arrieta. It's a leverage spot. I think if you go to the lefties here, people aren't going to say, Arrieta is good. He's not that good. He's good, but he can get blown up. His velocity isn't there this year. The Yankees are an interesting spot against Quintana, specifically Aaron Judge with the curveball. Quintana's curveball is, you know, we know it's one of his favorites, and it grades out pretty well, but Aaron Judge hits curveballs hard and far, and he hits lefties. So that's an interesting spot. And the Astros against Manaea, God, I wish I could play Manaea. All of his pitches grade out well. He's got great K stuff. We can't play him in this spot. And they hit him for four runs here. They hit lefties. So it's just hard. These expensive offenses are in interesting spots as far as leverage goes. They're not necessarily what I want to do. And the Diamondbacks I've talked about the Diamondbacks against Carmo. I don't really trust them. I got to be honest with you. I really don't trust them. You know, they have put up some good games, and then they've put up some absolute duds. Carmo could get blown up here. You know, it's just a fastball, slider, change pitcher, basically. He could, but I don't trust it. You're going to have to dive a little bit deeper. There's enough offense on this slate for me to feel like I can walk away from the Arizona side of Chase Field. One of those games is Cleveland, Texas. I really like this game a lot, specifically the Cleveland side going up against Tyson Ross. I think this is a definite stack candidate. Ross had one really solid start, and then he just got absolutely destroyed against Toronto. Base hit after base hit after base hit. Then finally the home run was the blow of kiss of death. They took him out of there. Seven hits in three innings pitched, gave up seven earned runs. We know Cleveland can do, that's their style. They can string together base hits. I mean, Casey Bogusla tweeted out last night, they have 12 runs with only one double. It was just singles. It was just singles and good base running. That's what they do. So I have no problem going after this stack. Lindor and Kipnis should be 1 and 2. You should get Ramirez and E5 at 3 and 4. You may get Chisenhall in the 3-hole as well, which great value there because he's been up with Brantley out of the lineup. So I have no problem with Chisenhall as a value play. You know, some of the other guys who are waiting around for the lineup, you're going to be seeing, you know, some names like maybe Bradley Zimmer, maybe Austin Jackson down there in the bottom of the lineup. Jackson continues to be productive, like just kind of mediocre productivity. So no problem with them. Everybody, you know, respectable Woba, respectable ISO. I think the power pair of Ramirez and E5 are in a really good spot here. You know, specifically because when we look at who is hitting the ball off of Tyson Ross in that Toronto start, it was Smoke, it was Donaldson. They just kept smoking the ball. So, you know, these guys who can, you know, turn over on his, on this fastball, they're going to get some hits. They're going to get some hits. If you have, you know, you have a guy who struggles with, you know, high quality batters, then I think this is a good spot for those, those power guys. They're expensive, but if you pair them with some of the cheapies, you know, certainly a good spot. Now, the other thing is to remember on the opposite side of this game, Clevinger, remember, he's got a great K rate, but he's got a really bad walk rate, and he gives up home runs. He gives one up pretty much every game. And it's mostly to the lefties. The problem that I started breaking this side down. The problem is one, it's Chasey. Texas with all his home runs last night, people are going to go, oh man, these guys are so hot. Yeah, they are hot. But I don't want to get in the boat and chase them right now. Do I want to start them? Yes. And I think that you have to mix and match the lefties and the righties because the righties are way hotter and playing much better than the lefties, with the exception of Sin Choo Chu. Okay, so the best bats right now to go to are Chu, Gomez, Beltre. Okay, those are the three guys who are hitting the hell out of the ball. And Odor, Mazzara, not so much. Odor is in a great spot. He's been in the 5-hole recently. And Andrus is cheap. And I have no problem with Andrus. You're not going to get a double dong out of Andrus. That was like his 5th home run of the year. All right. He, you know, he's a good hitter. Yes. But he's going to, he's not going to, you know, he's not going to do that again. So, you know, the Texas side of this is very interesting to me, but I think what I would try to do is I would try to go to some of the guys that maybe were quiet last night. So the Chu, Beltre, Odor, Gomez, you know, Beltre, and everybody knows who Adrian Beltre is. It's not quiet. You know, but I'm not going to go to Andrews again. I'm not going to chase that with everybody. And Joey Gallo is just too low in the lineup that he just, you know, he strikes out way too much. So, you know, I have no problem with that format. It's expensive though. It's a really expensive stack. Chu, Beltre, Odor, and Gomez. So I don't mind it. I don't mind it though. I think that, you know, Clevinger is bound to give up a home run to somebody, and you get some production there from Texas here. The other team that I want to go back to here, I want to go back to the Dodgers against Chavez, another right-handed pitcher at the bottom of the board. You got to love these guys on this Angels staff. They all have the same problem with right-handed pitching, right-handed pitchers with bad right-handed splits, mediocre fastballs, mediocre K rates. You know, Nolasco pitched a gem. Who fucking cares? The Dodgers are good. Chavez has given up a home run in every single start since April 20th. Okay, in his last three starts, he's given up 13 own runs through 15 innings pitched. I'll take that. That's a stack candidate. Remember, it's the right-handers, so I'm going straight back to the guys who burned everyone last night. No question. Chris Taylor, Justin Turner, Yasmani Grandal, Cody Bellinger. Those are my favorites. Obviously, Chase Utley is a cheap leadoff bat. If you need him, he's in a great spot because he's cheap, and he's going to get the plate appearances. And you don't feel bad about a $2,400 guy only getting you 9 points. You know, that's fine. Turner, remember this, 429 WOBA against right-handed pitching. Obviously, Grandal and Bellinger both have pop. Grandal, ISO over 200 against righties. Bellinger, ISO over 300, small sample size alert, but fucking A, that guy can hit the ball. I have no problems with Chris Taylor either in this spot. I have no problems with Jock Peterson, depending on who's in the two-hole. I don't know who it's going to be. It's been changing back and forth, and we know that the Dodgers lineup has been very tilting. But you can plug one of them in there or both of them in there and understand that probably both going to be in the lineup. And I'm telling you guys, I don't think Corey Seager is going to play. I think they're going to let him sit. This series isn't that important, you know, and they are playing really well. But they don't need him in interleague play right now. One, two, he's hurt. If you get hurt further on a hammy, you're going to be out for a while. They would rather rest him in this series than force him out there. They've got too many injuries up and down this lineup. They'll be fine. But they're not going to play him. So I would not plan on Corey Seager. Now, if he's in there, fine. Maybe you miss out on Corey Seager. It's more tilting to say, I'm going to play Corey Seager even though I think he's going to play. And then he doesn't play and you have to scramble and find a substitute for your shortstop versus, okay, he's playing, but I just don't have him. That's fine. That's fine. You play the other Dodgers. You know, it's not the end of the world. You're not going to get burned by not having him. St. Louis, they're going up against Taijuan Walker. They're another team that I'm interested in here. And I'm interested in the road team for a couple reasons. One, the road team in Chase have great history because they get the park upgrade. Look what the Phillies were capable of doing. They had some great games. There's some actual fantasy value. You know, so St. Louis here, I think, is in an interesting spot against Taijuan Walker. He's had some really nice starts, but here's what I like about St. Louis. There are some cheap bats in this lineup. Tommy Pham is 2-6. Jed Yurko is 3-1. Randall Grichuk, back-to-back games with homers, 2-7, and Paul DeJong at 2-6. I mean, you'd mean to tell me that I'm going to get a four-man stack that's, you know, okay, maybe it's two, the two-bat, the four-bat, the six-bat, the seven-bat. In the desert for less than $3,000, I can put Chris Sale with the St. Louis stack? You know, like, and these guys are not bad hitters. They can all leave the yard. Pham, Yurko, Grichuk, DeJong. We know they can hit home runs. We know they can hit extra base hits. These guys have power. We know that they're capable against a right-handed pitcher. And while Walker has been really good in two starts, it just seems like they're too cheap to ignore. I mean, I'm looking at Pham, ISO over 200. Jed Yurko, 199 ISO. Grichuk, 200 ISO. DeJong, 217 ISO. Obviously, Matt Carpenter there at the top as well, but the whole world is going to play Matt Carpenter. You can get the differentiation and the value of this lineup by playing Pham, Yurko, Grichuk, and DeJong. I have no problem with that. I just don't play Stephen Piscotty. I don't mind if you play him, but he's not one of my guys. So that's where we're at with the St. Louis. That's where we're at with Chase. That's how I'm touching Chase, by the way. That's what I'm doing. All right, a couple places that I think might go overlooked, or I'm hopeful that will go overlooked. You guys know I kind of go from what I think will be highest ownership, most popular, most obvious spots down to some of the lower ownership spots. That's kind of where I'm going here. Pivots that you have available to you. The Tigers, now that I think about it, they may not be a pivot. They may be just kind of middle of the road, not chalk, but middle of the road ownership, 10% or something like that. But against Strom, it's a great spot. You know, the Strom kid, he's been fine, but Tigers against the lefty, do it. Boom. You only get it every once in a while. You better have some shares of the Tigers against the lefty because they're just too good. I mean, they just destroyed James Paxton. Strom, he's not pitching that great either. He just got blown up by the Red Sox righties. He allowed 7 hits and 5 earned against them across like 4 innings. You know, the Tigers, they hit left-handed pitching like harder than the Red Sox. They're not expensive. Castellanos and Kinsler are both very, very affordable. And then you take the expensive ones and Miggy, JD, and Justin Upton. You know, you can pick however you want. If you want to go to Justin Upton or you want to go to JD Martinez, I'll look at the pitch profile and figure out. I'll look at it right now. Hold on. Let's see who hits what. I know what the Detroit hitters hit. Oh, my God. JD Martinez is a 500 ISO against right-handed pitching. You guys, got to play some JD Martinez tonight. Okay. Strom, very, very straightforward pitcher. Fastball, slider, changeup, curve. The curve is interesting because that's JD Martinez's. He can really hit the curve. He really can. Castellanos matches up well here. I think he's an interesting spot. Miggy is like just in the exact same boat as Hanley Ramirez. Like, I just don't know if you need to play him. He's got an 85 ISO. His WOBA is 360, but I think you could play Justin Upton and you have more upside. There's more upside in Justin Upton than there is in Miguel Cabrera right now. I know that's sacrilege, but I'm serious. And then you got to play JD. You got to play some JD Martinez, okay, guys? And Justin Upton also, he hits the curve very well. He hits the slider very well. So, yeah, this is a very good spot for the Detroit righties here. So I think my favorite is always Ian Kinsler, Nick Castellanos, JD Martinez, Justin Upton. It's just really good. And, 10% would be my guess. 10% would be my guess of ownership. That's pretty nice. Then I want to look at this Mets Marlins game, Straley versus Gisellman. I just don't think anybody's going to play this game. And it's risky because these offenses have been kind of so-so, but the Mets are coming around. We saw them in the San Francisco series. Their hard contact numbers are up. It's there against right-handed pitching, home and away. It doesn't matter. They're top 5 in hard contact against right-handed pitching in the last month. The Marlins, not so much. They're about 30%. They've been mediocre. But Gisellman he could get lit. Remember, Gisellman is the one who he has the worst fastball on the slate right now as far as pitch value goes. He just got destroyed by the Dodgers in that start. Remember, through 4 innings, he gave up 9 hits and 7 earned runs. In fact, in both of his last starts, he gave up 7 earned runs. He gave up 4 home runs to the Dodgers, 2 home runs to the Nationals. And, you know, it's the lefties. So what do you, you know, like, guys, let's do it. Let's go straight after my man, Justin Bour. I mean, I don't need to tell you that Justin Bour is an animal. I love Justin Bour in this spot. So, you know, and on the Mets side, I don't know. I think you take a look at their history against Straley. Straley's been kind of good lately. But he doesn't scare me necessarily. He doesn't scare me. So I think it's an interesting spot possibly for the Mets, the Marlins to go on their own. But you don't have to go there. Again, it's a leverage spot. Brewers, Reds, this game could go under owned or overlooked. And this is a really interesting spot too, to get some some stacks that are pretty cheap. This could be a very depressing five-run game where these two teams just can't get anything going, or this could be a 12-run home run fest. I can't read it, really, because I can't get a beat on what these offenses are going to do. They show up some days, they don't show up other days, they strike out too much, and then their hard contact is up, it's down. I don't really know what to say, but here's the thing. Junior Guerra cannot strike out a soul. Cannot strike out a soul. Worst K to walk ratio. One of the worst K to walk ratios on the slate. All right. And Adelman is getting lit by both lefties and righties. So I like both sides. I like the same Thames, Shaw, Sogard. They're pretty inexpensive. And then on the other side, I don't mind the Votto, Scooter, and Schebler. Billy Hamilton, by the way, just too cheap. And for a guy who's going to walk a lot of batters, you could just get Billy Hamilton into a bunch of lineups and know that at 3K, you could probably pay off that price tag. You know, Billy Hamilton and Scooter Gennett right there. There's two cheap 1-2s with Scherzer. I guarantee you can afford them with Scherzer. That's a nice little pair of 1-2 bats for cash game lineups. Now, remember, West Coast games always go under-owned. So some offenses that we may want to look at. The Seattle lefties against Nola. Nola has been pitching really well, at least in his last start. He pitched very, very well against the Cardinals. But the Seattle lefties have been excellent at home in this last stretch, and they are really, really, really going overlooked. So I think the Seattle lefties are in play against Nola here. The Rockies are really bad against right-handed pitching. They have one of the worst hard contact rates, but Matt Cain could be the worst right-handed pitcher on the slate. I just don't know necessarily that I trust the Rockies to go here. So I think the thing that gives me faith in the Rockies against Matt Cain is the fact that his last game that he started in Coors Field, he kind of got blown up. Well, he didn't get blown up. Five runs to the Rockies. You know, but nobody hit a home run off of him, which is ridiculous because, you know, he get 10 hits to the, he gave up 10 hits and 7 earned to the Braves. He gave up 7 hits and 5 earned to the Twins. He gave up 10 hits and 5 earned to the Brewers. You get the point. And then the Rockies get him in fucking Coors Field, and he gives up 9 hits, but only 1 earned. The Rockies just, they don't hit the ball very hard. And in this ballpark, I don't really know necessarily that they're going to do much. I mean, Arenado and Blackman. That's it. That's all you can really go to. So, those are some under-owned spots. All right, guys, let's jump over to FanDuel. Let's figure out how we can put all this together and build ourselves a little lineup. All right, so, you know, I feel like this is a relatively chalky lineup with some decent spots in it. You know, every time I build here, guys, I'm going to build with Scherzer at the top because it's always what I recommend to pay for pitching like this. So it's Scherzer at the top. And then I went straight after, you know, some of the cheapies that I know, you know, as far as the Arizona bats became instantly, or excuse me, not Arizona, the St. Louis bats became very appealing to me. So, I was looking at them. You know, Jed Yurko and Tommy Pham should be in the top half of that lineup. So I went straight for them. And then I was looking poking around at some of these Boston bats and hoping that Chris Young is in there, 2,300. I love him. And I think he'll be popular to go with Scherzer. No doubt. He's cheap. He's 5 or 6 hole. And then if you get him in there with, you know, Yurko, Tommy Pham, Chris Young, then you really kind of have some decent money to spend. So I went to Bogarts and Betts. And I went to Pedroia. I mean, I don't normally play Dustin Pedroia, but against a pitcher that's this bad in an offense that's projected for this many runs, he's batting second. You know, at 2,800, you're not going to kill yourself, you know, if he gets you 6, 9, 12 points, something like that. There's no pop. There's no power. I don't mind if you want to go to someone else at that, you know, at that price, like, you know, Paul DeJong, for example. I have no problem with Paul DeJong in that spot at that kind of that price point at second base. And, well, interesting, Logan Forsythe just moved up to second base, by the way. That's an interesting spot for him. You know, and you get above 3,000, you're pretty much gold. You can go with anybody. But below 3,000, Pedroia is definitely one of the best options, especially batting in the two-hole. He'll be owned pretty highly, though, because of that, cheap and in the two-hole. So I had the Pedroia, Bogarts, Betts, Chris Young stack. It's fine for a team that's projected against 6 runs. It's chalky, but it's not a bad spot. Then I needed first, my boy Justin Bour is only $3,000. It's one of the best values on the slate. Yes, he's been cold, but Gieselman is a great target here. You know, there's some other spots. I think Kennys Vargas could be in an interesting spot here, even though, you know, he's been cold lately. He's got a decent matchup with Pomeranz. He's cheap, 2,800. Eric Thames at 31 is an interesting spot. Those are kind of, you know, the value spots. You know, Tyler Austin, he'll continue to be really popular. He dingered last night, the new kid for the Yankees. He's only 2,200, so certainly a good spot for him as well. But this is an interesting line. And then you punt catcher, you got to find a min-price catcher. Max Scherzer, Justin Bour, Dustin Pedroia, Jed Yurko, Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts, Tommy Pham, and Chris Young. Four-man Red Sox stack with Scherzer, plus the bats in the desert with Yurko and Pham, who have some pop. And Justin Bour as a one-off there in a good spot, underpriced. He's been cold, but it's a good spot to go back to him against Gieselman. So that's it, guys. I mean, this is an interesting lineup. You got a 15-game slate, though. You got to find leverage. It's not hard to find leverage. You play the spots that people are uncomfortable with, right? You play the spots that people are a little bit iffy on. You play a pair of bats that people may overlook. You play guys who have, you know, who are not in super duper high total games, that kind of stuff. So get out there, find some leverage. Good luck in your contest. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Review the podcast, follow, and I will see you tomorrow.